This morning we continue in our study of St. Paul's letter to the churches of Galatia, and our reading this morning is Galatians chapter 6, verses 2 through 5, especially focusing our attention on verse 2. These are the words of the living God. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Let's look to the Lord once again in prayer. O God, the King of glory, you have exalted your only Son, Jesus Christ, with great triumph to your kingdom in heaven. Do not leave us comfortless, but as we look into your holy word, send us your Holy Spirit, the breath of God, to fill this place. Revive our hearts to know your grace. And from our slumber, make us rise that we may know the risen Christ. Send us your Spirit to equip and empower us to love as you love us, and to lift us up to that place where our Savior, Jesus Christ, has gone before. It is in his precious and saving name we pray. Amen. In his letter to the Galatians, St. Paul has been seeking to remove burdens and take away laws. False teachers called Judaizers were teaching Gentile converts to Christianity that they needed to keep the ceremonies of the Old Testament laws in order to justify themselves before God, to keep up their acceptance in God's sight. And to Paul's dismay, many of the Galatian Christians whom he had led to Christ, into saving faith in Christ alone, they were beginning to follow this false teaching. They were turning from the freedom they had known through grace alone and faith alone and Christ alone, and they were taking on this burden of legalism and self-salvation, the very burden that Christ had come to emancipate them from. So Paul spent most of his letter, as we have seen, calling them away from that crippling burden, away from the laws of the Judaizers and back to the freedom and rest and peace and joy and abundant life that was theirs through faith in Jesus Christ alone. So here, Paul does a peculiar thing, doesn't he? He calls them to take on burdens and fulfill law. Very striking move on the part of the apostle. This morning I want us to consider what Paul was up to here. The law that Paul did call the Galatians and indeed all Christians to fulfill, and the power that enables us to fulfill it under two headings. First, fulfilling the law of Christ. And second, the fuel that empowers us to fulfill it. First, fulfilling the law of Christ. Paul was saying to the Galatians, okay, if you want to bear burdens, you seem very eager to bear burdens, and you seem very eager to fulfill law, let me tell you what burdens you need to be bearing and what law you need to fulfill. It is not the burdens of the Judaizers and their elaborate religion of self-salvation. Jesus himself spoke against that kind of thing when he said of the Pharisees in Matthew 23 and verse 4, they tie up heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger. So Paul was saying, you must always reject the burdens and laws of legalistic, self-righteous religion, no matter what the Judaizers or anybody else is telling you. Stand firm in your faith. Stand firm in the finished work of Christ. Stand firm in your adoption by the Heavenly Father into His family. That irrevocable adoption. That love that will never let you go. Stand firm in those things. Celebrate those things. Live in the power of those things. If you want to bear burdens and fulfill law, let me tell you what you need to do. You need to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Not the ceremonial law of Moses, which was fulfilled by Christ and abrogated by Christ, but rather the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? It is the law that Christ taught and exemplified in His life and death, namely the law of love, which Paul mentioned earlier in his epistle. The law that is summed up in, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But it was most gloriously and beautifully fulfilled in the incarnation of the Son of God and the way He lived His life and the way He laid down His life on behalf of His people. In John 13, verses 34 and 35, we are told that on the night He was betrayed, after He had washed His disciples' feet. There it is, the love of Christ demonstrated right there. That's the law of Christ. When He had washed His disciples' feet, He told them, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." So the law of Christ is that new commandment. The commandment noum in the Latin Vulgate. That's where we get the term mandi or mandatum Thursday, Commandment Thursday, because it was on Maundy Thursday that Jesus gave this new mandatum, this new mandate, this new commandment. You are to love one another as I have loved you, and this will be the hallmark of the disciple, your love for one another. In Galatians 6:2, Paul said that if we fulfill that law by bearing one another's burdens. Bearing one another's burdens. And that language in and of itself is richly Christological, if I may use that word. It is dripping with the language of Jesus Christ. Bearing burdens. Jesus is the great burden bearer. For us in our salvation, Jesus bore our sins in His body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, as 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24 tells us. Or as Isaiah foretold in chapter 53 of his prophecy, surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. He was crushed under the weight of our sin and the judgment our sin deserves. Upon Him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with His wounds, we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. And having borne our sins and made atonement for them, our Lord continues to bear our humanity. now glorified in heaven. He did not slough off our flesh when he returned to glory. But just as he was raised bodily from the dead, he ascended bodily into heaven, where he is seated at the right hand of our Heavenly Father. He still bears our humanity. He still wears the robe of our human nature. And he does so gladly. He came not only to redeem our souls, but our bodies. And in his glorified body, he gladly represents us as the only mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. And there he intercedes for us at the Father's right hand. In the Old Testament, the high priest would wear special garments. He would wear a beautiful robe when he went into the holiest place to minister on behalf of Israel there. He wore an ornate vestment called an ephod with two shoulder straps on which there were two onyx stones, one stone on each shoulder, with six of the names of the tribes of Israel engraved on one and six on the other six engraved on the other. And over that vestment was a breastpiece with 12 precious stones on it, each engraved like a signet, and each bearing the name of the tribe of Israel it represented. Thus the high priest would bear the names, literally bear the names of the children of Israel into the holiest place to bring them to regular remembrance before the Lord. It was the high priest's way of saying, Lord, remember your covenant people. Remember your gracious promises to them. Don't deal with them according to their sins, but deal with them according to your covenant mercy, your steadfast love, according to your covenant of grace. So it is now with Jesus, our great high priest. He continues to bear our humanity and thus our names in the presence of God the Father. We are engraved on the palms of his hands. As Charles Wesley put it, five bleeding wounds he bears, received on Calvary. They pour effectual prayers. They strongly plead for me. Robert Murray McShane used to say, if I could hear Christ praying for me in the next room, I would not fear a million enemies. Yet distance makes no difference. He is praying for me. He is praying for you today, dear child of God. He ever lives to intercede for all who come to God through him. In the words of Matthew Bridges, crown him, therefore. Crown him, the ascended Christ. Crown him, the Lord of love. Behold his hands and side, rich wounds, yet visible above, in beauty glorified. So Christ, who bears our humanity and who bore the cross, think of him carrying his own cross, and bearing our sins on that cross, and who bore the judgment we deserve, he calls us to follow in his footsteps, in the way of the cross. He said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow after me. He calls us to follow in his footsteps of burden bearing. And we cannot bear another person's sins. We cannot atone for their sins. Only Christ did that. He was talking about following his example in bearing with and for one another in the challenges of this life. Life in a fallen world. Jesus calls us to come alongside one another. That's another name for the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, the one who comes alongside to help. And by the ministry of the Spirit, we come alongside to help our brothers and sisters in Christ in the practicalities and the ups and downs, in the disappointments and devastations of life in a fallen world. We do that which you, as the saints of Ballantyne Presbyterian Church, do so faithfully in your life together as God's family. I'm constantly learning from you on this theme. Jesus is constantly showing himself through you to me and to one another and to our community as you serve and love one another and bear one another's burdens. And as you do, be encouraged by the Spirit in your conscience. You know, we often talk about the Spirit convicting us of sin, and he certainly does that, but the Spirit also gives us an attaboy when we need one. He convicts us that we're doing right. And you should be convicted today that as you bear one another's burdens, as you help one another out in the challenges of this life, you are fulfilling the law of Christ, the law of love, and thereby you are testifying to the reality of the death and resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ to a needy world. When you pray for someone who is burdened with care, as we all did as we entered in to that prayer earlier, and as you pray individually and as families and corporately for those who are burdened with care, or you take a meal to someone or send them a DoorDash gift card or Grubhub or whatever the case may be, or help gently restore someone overtaken by sin, as we heard last week, or simply speak an encouraging word, a word of gratitude. Just offer someone a compliment. Just give them a kind word. You never know what burden you may be lifting, what weight you may be taking as you help others in those and many other ways. As you give today to the Benevolence Fund, you never know who you could be helping as they are weighed down with material need. Paul said that the thing that prevents us from doing these things is thinking we are something rather than being humble, putting ourselves in someone else's shoes. It comes from comparing ourselves to others rather than testing our own work and examining ourselves in the mirror of him who bore the towel and knelt before the basin and washed his disciples' feet. There's an old saying that when we measure ourselves by looking in the mirror of other people, we're being easy on ourselves. We have to look into the mirror of Jesus Christ and see him there on his knees washing his disciples' feet. See him dying on the tree for our sins. And there we learn how to fulfill the law of Christ. Paul wasn't calling us to look to others to take away our burdens. You notice that's not what he says. He doesn't say, look to others to take away your burdens. He says, no, look away from yourself and bear the burdens of others. Paul wasn't calling us to laziness. He said in verse 5, each will have to bear his own load. The word load there is a different word in the Greek than the word burden in verse 2. In verse 2, the word burden means a crushing heavy weight, a something unusually difficult that requires help. The word for load in verse 5 means something like a backpack, a soldier's backpack, which he was individually responsible for. So Paul wasn't saying, look to others to do those things which you can do for yourself. Take personal responsibility for what God has entrusted to you, but always be on the lookout and be sensitive for how you can help others in their time of need. Paul was saying, if you want to bear burdens, don't bear the burdens of legalism. Bear the burdens of one another. Think of others. Pray for others. Help one another. Support one another. And thus you will fulfill the law of Christ. And in the second place this morning, the fuel that empowers us to fulfill it. As we said, anytime you read a command in Scripture, know that the ascended Christ does not leave you to yourself to fulfill it. As Augustine used to pray, Lord, grant what you require and require what you will. That's the kind of gracious God we have. And so we consider now the fuel that empowers us to fulfill the law of Christ. You know, over the last few days, we've had to think about fuel in a way that we don't normally have to think about. We sort of typically, most of us, I'm sure, just sort of take it for granted. If we need gasoline, we go to the gas station and they're going to have gasoline and we will fill up our tank and we will go on our way. But we've been dealing with a fuel shortage. Perhaps you've had to alter your schedule because of it, cancel a trip. Perhaps you downloaded the Gas Buddy app. Perhaps you're tempted to do so right now, but you're going to wait till after the service to do so. Perhaps you prayed for fuel for the first time this past week or for the first time in a long time. We tend to take it for granted, but this week we were reminded on how dependent we are on it to power our cars and get us where we need to go. And just as our cars need physical fuel in order to get us where we need to go, so we need spiritual fuel in order to do what God calls us to do, specifically to fulfill the law of Christ, fulfill it towards our spouse, our children, our parents, our co-workers, our neighbors, our brothers and sisters in Christ. People are easy to love when they're easy to love. But we are fallen human beings. And so we need supernatural help, supernatural fuel to love people who, like ourselves, are fallen, frail, fickle, unappreciative at times, cranky, sinful. Where do we go to get this fuel? We go to the ascended Christ. He is the place where we go to refuel. Just as we have always, just as we have this past week acutely felt our need of physical fuel for our cars, we should always feel our need of the fuel that Christ gives us, the fuel of the Holy Spirit, the breath of God, the fuel of our spiritual lives, in order to do what Christ has called us to do and follow in His footsteps, the footsteps of humble servanthood and love. In Ephesians 1, Paul commended the Ephesians for the love they had for one another and all the saints of God. And it's an amazing passage. It's a whole bunch of verses in English, but it's like this one really long sentence in the Greek. And well into it, Paul touched on the source of that love. He says, you love each other well. Let me remind you of that source, the source of that love. And I'm praying that the source of that love will work in every relationship, heal every wound, and enable you to be united for the cause of Christ. He touched on the source of that love, the fuel of that love, when he said that he prayed for them to have God's Spirit so that they would continue to know the greatness of God's power, quote, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. In other words, the power to love, really love, as Christ has loved us, is resurrection power. It is ascension power communicated to us through the Holy Spirit and received by faith. Don't forget, dear Christian, really and truly today, you are not running on empty. You may feel like it, but the Holy Spirit lives within you. And if you will ask Him, He will fill you to overflowing with resurrection, ascension power to live and to love where the rubber meets the road. I'm full of car analogies today. Where the rubber meets the road in the day-to-day of your life. He will help you if you will ask. He will help me if I will ask. In the vicissitudes of this life, He will fill us, fill our spiritual tank. Because without the power of the ascended Christ working in us by His Spirit, we are like a car empty of gas, stranded on the side of the road. The power we need to fulfill the law of Christ is the power of the ascended Christ. We do not have a dead Savior who left us with a dead law that we are to fulfill in our own spiritual deadness. We have a living Savior whom we see with the eyes of faith. He lives an indestructible life, the writer to the Hebrews tells us, at the Father's right hand. And He is all-powerful to communicate His power to us through His Spirit to fulfill the law of Christ. Ironically, then, the law of Christ is fulfilled through the grace of Christ. What a grace-centered God we have. Even when He gives us a law, He gives us the grace to grow in it. One of the early church fathers, Leo the Great, said this about Ascension Day. On this day, not only have we been confirmed in our possession of paradise, but we have entered heaven in the person of Christ. Colossians 3 says, you're seated in Christ. You've been raised with Christ. Ephesians 2 said, you're seated in Christ. And the heavenly place is in Christ Jesus. That's where you reside as a Christian. And Leo went on to say, not only have we been confirmed in our possession of paradise, but we have entered heaven in the person of Christ through His ineffable grace. We have regained far more than we had lost through the devil's hatred. We have regained in Christ far more than was lost in Adam and through the devil's hatred. Thus, when we come to the ascended Christ by faith, we never read a sign that says, sorry, no fuel. And by grace, and we should always be praying for this, whenever you come to this church, you will not read a sign that says, sorry, no fuel. Through the means of grace, the reading, preaching, and praying, and singing of His Word, and the gifts of the sacraments and the fellowship of his saints. This will always be a place, by the grace of God, where you can find fuel for free. Can you imagine if there were announcements on the gas buddy? Not only is fuel here, but it's for free. Well, that's what we offer the world. Spiritual fuel. Freely given. Freely received. Fuel for your spiritual life and all that God is calling you to do. May we always be a spiritual filling station. The ascended Christ is always ready to fuel our lives by his Spirit to do the Father's will. He is always ready to fuel our lives as we look to him in faith to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.